Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I hope y'all hear me. It's a pleasure to be here. Second service amongst family members. Usually, we don't have a lot of visitors. This service, mostly members of the congregation. So really, I don't have to go a lot into explain to you that there is a God. I don't have to explain that God created heaven and earth to a lot of you guys today. I don't have to explain that he sent his son Jesus here. Sent his son Jesus to fix the sin problem that happened in the Garden of Eden. He sent Jesus, which was the seed of Eve, Genesis 3:15, put Eve's sins on his back. He died and was buried, 1 Corinthians 15:4. When he rose, he left sin in the ground. I don't know how to really explain that to a lot of us. We already know that. Most of us already know these things, but what we fail to realize and recognize that there is a devil. We fail to realize and recognize that. And that devil is alive. And that devil is strong. That devil was in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, him and his angels. So he's familiar with the word of God. He witnessed the power of God. And at the name of Jesus and God, he trembled in fear, James chapter 2, verse number 19. And he has one goal in mind, this devil. His goal is to drain the life out of you. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. God warns us constantly to resist the devil. Resist the devil, 1 Peter 5:9. Resist the devil, Ephesians 4:27. Resist the devil, Ephesians 6:9, 10, and 11. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So he keeps reminding us, resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. But do we know what resist mean? Resist don't mean ignore the devil. Resist don't mean run from the devil or hide from him. They're just like, if it's raining outside, if it's a storm outside, we go outside and we hide. We run from the storm. We don't do that, do we? What we do, we get an umbrella so that we can resist the rain. This word resist in the Greek is anatime, which means to withstand, to protect yourself against it. Like in Ephesians 6:11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand, resist the wiles and the tricks of the devil. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, he is walking about tirelessly, looking for you, looking for me to destroy us. Not only us, but the whole world, Revelation 12, verse number 9. And the world seems to forget about that. Even us Christians, we seem to forget that there is a devil. We forget about that. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 2. We forget about those things because, just like the Bible says, we have become ignorant of his devices. But we are going to look into the way he operates, some of the things that he used, some of the ways that he tried to tempt man. Let's go to the first temptation. Genesis 3, we're going to pick up with verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, Satan cleverly had Eve to think that her current lifestyle wasn't good enough. He had her to believe and think that something was missing in her life. She was like, I mean, maybe you're right. He had her to look at her life through his eyes. Eve, you could be better. Eve, you could be a god. Subconsciously, Eve must have felt incomplete. She must have know when Jesus created the heavens and the earth, when he created all the animals, the planets, the sun, the moon, all of the stars, each star is numbered. So this powerful God that created everything, he simply said to that, it's good, it's okay, it's all right. But when he created you and I, he designed us just like an artist would design a masterpiece. We are the only creations that were created in his likeness, in his image. It's as if when God looks at us, he sees himself. And he said, look, this right here is very good. This is very good. Yet, when we look in the mirror, do we see perfection? When we look at ourselves in the mirror, do we see something good, or do we see, maybe we feel like God messed up? When you look at yourself, whatever it is, your hair, do you feel like God messed up? Think about it. He made a rose. You know how beautiful a rose look? You don't have to be tampered with. You don't have to. It's naturally beautiful. See, Satan has got us to look at ourselves through his eyes. See, we're not good enough. So he creates this illusion of beauty. You look at entertainers, you look at the Kardashians and the Beyoncés, he have it that they are beautiful. See, but we must understand that Satan deceives not only us, but the whole world. So when the celebrities, the Kardashians, when they look in the mirror, they don't see beauty either. So they go undergo surgeries to rearrange what God had created. You will never be good enough when you're looking from the devil's perspective on beauty. Real beauty is in the eye and will always be in the eye of the beholder. See, but he also creates this illusion of happiness, world happiness. See, when she was persuaded by Satan, he had her to believe that what if she eat of this fruit, she will be happier. If you could be a god. But it was an illusion, it was a lie. See, sometimes we become distracted by yearning for these worldly goods to make us happy. Because we have an emptiness inside of us, thinking that these things can make us be happier or feel better. See, but that emptiness, only God can feel that. So what we do, we try to fill that void with the next new thing. And that next new thing always gets old. So we set our hearts and minds on these things and we get sidetracked, hoping that we thinking these things are going to make us stand out. We're thinking that they're going to make us look important. They're going to make us, people look at me and think that I'm special, I'm successful. But just like Eve thought, it's only an illusion to distract us, excuse me. Let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will, and this word will is bigger than just will, it's like those that strive, that are eager to be rich, fall into a temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the greed or the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, and they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, we need to be content. A life free of murmuring, complaining. Now, that's real gain. Versus a man that it takes a lot of things to gratify him. He has to have something new. He itches until he finds something to make him feel happy. See, a man like that, he would never have peace. That's just like the more money he make, the more money he spend. So he's always on an ever search. This is like a mouse on a wheel when he's running, that little hamster. He's using a lot of energy, but he never seems to get there. He's burning up a lot of energy. He's trying to get there, but he's only running in place. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's pick up verse number 7. See what else happened. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, after we fall for these illusions, we become distracted, see. And we begin to go places we don't have no business going. See, they saw, started putting things together. They felt for the first time guilt. We began to say things we don't got no business saying. Go places we ain't got no business going. Proverbs 5:22, a man's own iniquity shall capture the wicked himself. And he shall be holding with the cords of his sins, which in terms means, for instance, I know a guy in my job, and he talks to me about it. He has a drinking problem. And he said, man, I'm trying to stop. But his body won't let him, because his body started shaking. He's holding his sins, he's holding by the cords of his sin. That's the only thing that's holding him together. He's trying his best to stop, though. But he's became so dependent on those drugs or those alcohols that's the only thing that's keeping his heart beating. Let's pick back up with Genesis 3. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? I'm sure God knows all. I'm sure God knows where Adam was. I'm sure his way of saying that was to, hey, Adam, do you know where you at? Adam, you lost. Where art thou? You lost, Adam. Do you know you lost? I have a question for us today. Where art thou? Look deep down inside of you. Are we lost? Where art thou? Has Satan persuaded us to leave the path of righteousness? Where art thou? Maybe we have left the path of righteousness to be reconciled with the world or fit in, to be cool on our jobs. So we fit in. We're not a spectacle for people to look at and laugh at. Where art thou? So they hid themselves. They immediately became guilty. And they began living a hidden lifestyle. Are we living a hidden lifestyle? They felt guilty. They started hiding. They immediately began to live a hidden lifestyle. Are we walking the walk of shame right now? Are we? But it stems from us failing to resist the devil. They fell into sin. Think about it, if that was us, we're like, oh man, we messed up. We had all of this bounty, no storms, no rain, no mosquitoes, none of that. What do we do? But God had grace anyway. Had grace anyway. in Romans chapter 7, verse number 24, wretched man that I am, what shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from this body, this condition of sin? Who shall deliver me? Let's drop down to verse number 14, Genesis 3, 14. Let's pick up 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Immediately, God pointed to Christ. Immediately. He didn't point to Moses. He didn't point to David. He pointed to Christ. Immediately, his grace was shown in the garden. On throughout the book, we still cling to that grace. It's other graces, but immediately he went to Christ. The only solution to man's problem is Christ. Christ is the only man that Satan couldn't lure with the passions of this world. He couldn't lure Satan. He couldn't lure Christ. He tried. In Matthew chapter 4, he said, he put some stone. Jesus was very hungry, Matthew 4, 2. He was very hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He was in the wilderness. Satan appeared in his weakest point. Put some stone in front of him. Can you turn the stone to bread? What did Jesus say? For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the word of God. That's the answer. Are we living by the word of God? That's a question we all got to ask ourselves. Are we reflecting on it? Matthew 22 and verse number 29, Jesus told the Sadducees, look, you err. You're not on the right path. You err because ye know not the scriptures. That's the problem with us. We don't know the scriptures. We don't familiarize ourselves with them. Ephesians 6, 17. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. So how can a Christian fight in a battle without his sword? That's the only weapon that we have to fight with. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and he has given us a sword to protect the spirit within us. So how can we not be familiarize ourselves with the word of God? They're just like a police officer going out to fight crime, but he don't have a weapon. It don't make sense. We have on all our armor. We have on our breastplate of righteousness. We have on our helmet of salvation. We're here. We have on our shield of faith. We believe, but we don't have our sword to attack the enemy. Over time, due to ducking and dodging, all the fiery darts that come from Satan and his angels, because he have them, ducking and dodging, we get tired over time because we don't have that sword to attack back. We don't have that. Their weight gets heavy on us, and we give up. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This word, inspiration, we know what this means. We all know this. Means to breathe upon. So when we read the word of God, it's as if God is breathing into man the breath of God, breathing air into the inner man so that the inner man can breathe, so that the inner man can live. Psalms 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid into my heart. Why did he do that? Why did he hide in his heart? So that I might not sin against thee. He hid it in his heart so that nobody could take it from him. See, I can hide something, but if I hide it inside of me, you can't take that. He hid it in his heart so that it could guide him along this path. He hid it in his heart so that it guides him as he walked through this life called wilderness. He has trouble on every side. He might got to deal with racism. He might got to deal with sexism. He might got to deal with so many things that the devil brings his way. Maybe his body break it down. But he hides it in his heart, and he clings to God's word. And that word gives him strength. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and in the necessities and in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Satan tried to break me down. Satan tries to make me weak. But Paul said, in those moments, I'm made strong. And that's 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 10. So today, let us delight in the word of the Lord. Let us have joy. Let us get our happiness from that. Instead of looking for the happiness that is in this society, material things, instead of looking for joy out of what our jobs could bring us. Ephesians 4, verse number 27 reads, let us give no opportunity to the devil. Psalms 1, 2, let us meditate in the word of the Lord night and day. You know, we need the word of God. Just like everything that man makes today comes with an instruction manual. If you think about it, if you get a toaster, you buy a brand new car, it has a manual in the glove compartment. Now, that manual tells you the function of the car. It tells you what kind of gas to put in the car. If you put the wrong gas in your BMW, it's going to break down. It's going to malfunction. Well, God made man, and he has given man an instruction manual. It talks about man's purpose, talks about the design of man's heart, talks about man's mind, the soul of man, talks about man's relationships, such as marriage, for one. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourself to your own husband, that's to the Lord. Ephesians 5:28, so the husbands are the Lord of their wives as their own body. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man yet hated his own skin, but rubs it. And he nourishes it when he get hurt. He rubs it. What about the children? Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What about parents? It talks about that too. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I got a problem with that sometimes. I had to understand, you know, you can't let them get on your nerves. Provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. What about employees? It talks about being an employee too. Employees 6:5, service be obedient to them that are mastered according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not as unto our service. Just like sometimes our service, oh, the boss coming, let's get back to work. Our service. Not as our service. And it said also not as man pleaser. Sometimes we'd be like, boss, I love you so much, boss. Boss, you just my friend. Not as man pleasers, but as unto the servant of Christ. Doing the will of God. You doing the will of God, being submissive from your heart. I got a question for you. What happens when you disregard the owner's manual? When you disregard the instruction manual God gives you, what just like that car, it started malfunctioning. Well, man will malfunction. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, Christian people, excess of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Why? Because it is able to save your souls from Satan and his angels. That's James 1:21. Christians, it's time for us to get it together. It's time for us, you know, just put the remote down, the TV down just for a little bit. You know, Facebook, let's put it down just for maybe an hour or two. Get together, let's read our word, feed ourselves. It's time. Now, if you're not a Christian, you ought to be one. As we discussed earlier, God sent his son down here, robed him in flesh, brought him here to bear the sins of man. Please don't take that sacrifice for granted. Because if you're not a Christian, that's what you're doing on a daily basis. Believe that he is the Son of God. Repent, change your mind. Understand that, hey, the route I'm going in is death. You can be able to confess today that, hey, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't have to be nervous. Most of us Christians have done that already. And then we will baptize you for remissions of your sins. Come today while together we stand and sing.